Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to the last podcast of its kind this season. We're at Sealhain, where the players have been training for the last game of the season. This time next week, people will be on the beach. People will know a lot more about what's happening over the course of the summer.
Heads in hands or jumping for joy?
Absolutely. It is mathematically still a possibility that Torquay will be a National League team next season.
Yep.
We'll crunch the numbers for you in the next few minutes on the podcast. We're joined by David Thomas. Tomo, welcome again to the podcast.
Great to see you both.
There's a lot to crunch today. There was the game at Altrincham, which didn't end up the way we wanted it to end up. There's the game against Wrexham, which is the circus coming to town. And Torquay still... Maidenhead have to lose by a lot at Gateshead, which is a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
Which means that Torquay have to beat Wrexham and beat them comfortably.
Yeah.
Which is not beyond the realms of possibility, is it? That was a long silence. That was a long silence.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the build-up to the last week or so, mm-hmm. I think we all felt that if United could get the win they needed at Altrincham, and a couple of the other results went in our favour, notably Maidenhead, or actually more likely York, who of course were the ones who got to go to Notts County on the last day, that a point against Wrexham on the last day of the season was doable, especially if they'd won the title, which they have done. So if a point was, we all felt, was a distinct possibility, and United get the first goal on Saturday, especially with as many of the people who have bought tickets as possible turning up, and an atmosphere, just almost for old time's sake, isn't it? You know, like we've had such a good record against Wrexham over the years, apart from getting duffed 6-0 up there this season.
Which incidentally is the game that put us into the relegation zone for the first time, September the 24th.
Top research there.
And we haven't been out of it since.
No, exactly. So anyway, you know, all those things, you know, if United could score first on Saturday, and Wrexham are not quite at it, and you wouldn't blame them for being so. They've rampaged through this division along with Notts County this season.
Yeah,
who knows? But let's face it, it's in fantasy land in a way, isn't it? And you just have to. It's in some ways, I think all of us have felt this is the worst option. In other words, we've got this very, very distant light at the end of the tunnel, which is unattainable really, unless suddenly somebody pours a huge amount of coals on the fire and the engine starts moving forward at a pace that we can't imagine. But
let's see if that can happen. One of the great things about being out at Sealhain is that we have a chat with Gary before we record the podcast. We just have done in the porter cabin, other portable buildings being available, of course. But let's have a chat with Gary. There's a key question that gets asked as well. We talk about the future, and Gary is very much focused on Saturday's game. But there's a key question that gets asked and answered during this. So let's go over and hear what Gary has to say, and we'll be back on the other side of Gary Johnson.
Gaffer, obviously rather on the football field, a traumatic weekend for the football club. How do you assess things now a few days on?
Traumatic in the fact that we didn't win the game. Not traumatic in necessarily our performance, or even our performance over the last 10 games. I think we've picked up 17 points. So, you know, the team that we got here has produced some good football, some good results. The disaster was the last minute penalty again. And if you take a couple of losses that we've had against, Dagenham at home, Wealdstone at home, where they were the same last minute goals that were, for all intents and purposes, we were the better team, absolutely, as far as the stats go and as far as what you see. So we just really just, in our heads, we've been working, and the lads were upset, disappointed, of course, but we've had to pick them up because it's still mathematically possible, you know, it's, the bookies will give you good odds sort of thing. So, but while it's there, you've still got to, you know, train hard, play hard, and until it's official. And we've had to pick them up a little bit, pick ourselves up a little bit. We've got to pick our crowd up a little bit, probably, because, you know, it's, we haven't lost many, but we haven't done enough to get ourselves out of the bottom four, because other teams were doing okay as well. So it's unfortunate. But we go into the Wrexham game, we know they're the best team in the league, and we have to give a good account of ourselves.
It seemed particularly unfortunate that the man at the centre of the penalty incident at the end was actually the same man that had dragged you back in and your team back into the match, and actually has done so much, been so influential, your captain Asa Hall, during this recent good form.
Yeah, I don't know about dragged this back into the match, because I thought we deserved, with the pressure we were putting on them, even they had probably the first 10 minutes and then we had the rest of the game. You know, with Asa, he is the ultimate professional, you know, and if he goes for a tackle, he's doing it because he feels he can win the ball, and he was probably a millimetre away from winning the ball. And it's, you know, small margins, as it were. And I mean, we was all gutted, but it's like missing a penalty in a playoff final. Do you know what I mean? That was what it felt like, because that's how we treated that game. This is like a playoff final, sort of semi final, let's say, because we needed to win it to be able to get a less of a result against Wrexham, i.e., a point, rather than have to win 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, whatever it was, and hope Maidstone lose 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is. The good news is Gates had played very well against Boreham Wood. I watched that game to see whether they were in Marbella or not already. They've got their trophy final, so, you know, they look like they're giving it a go, and they beat Boreham Wood 2-0 and had quite a few chances. So more power to them. And then it's probably the hardest task is, you know, for us to beat the team that's already won the league, but definitely not impossible. Definitely not impossible. And we've been, we and the lads have been working hard, focused on this game.
Nobody likes to keep on talking about hard luck stories, but it does feel on a number of occasions this season that fortune hasn't always favoured us. I guess if you were looking for favour to turn up in time, then Saturday wouldn't be a bad occasion to do so. Will you be keeping half an ear out on scores elsewhere to see what your team needs? It's a very difficult situation.
Yeah, there's only one score we've got. Keep thoughts on, that's Maidenhead. So yeah, I always, the lads know that if I look round and ask for a result, then, you know, we always give somebody the role of telling us, keeping an eye on, you know, just on their phone, on the score that we need. So, you know, because you have to. You know, if they're, I don't know, it dictates what you do. Do you play a different game? Do you, you know, go gung-ho all of a sudden? Do you get tight all of a sudden? You know, whatever it is. But the first thing we got to do is try and win the game. And if you can get that first goal, then any goal after that is a bonus. And so, you know, we've been looking at different things, working on different things, and... But we've won some good games over the last, you know, 5 or 6, 7 games. So we know how to win. And we'll have to wait and see whether Wrexham have an unlucky day. You know, that's what we need them to lose. They've had all their luck through good play, I suppose. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big crowd, which is nice. It's going to be a good atmosphere. Wrexham are not under pressure. They're only under pressure as a pride, and their support was coming down, sort of thing. So, you know, we'd like to, like we did when the first game of the new directorship regime, where we spoiled their party a little bit, didn't we, and got the equaliser up at up at Wrexham. But we got to say well done to Wrexham, because they've been fantastic. And, you know, they would comfortably play in the First Division, comfortably. We said that about Stockport last year, and they're up there. I think they're, you know, they've got a chance of automatic. I think, I'm not sure if they're still in automatic or whether they're in the playoffs, but they didn't start great, but now they've got themselves right in there, you know, and they looked a decent outfit when they went up. Wrexham are the same.
You touched upon it in the post-match interview at Altrincham, that the team you've got now is not in terms of just personnel, but the mentality, the way they're approaching games, the results they're getting now is a completely different team to the one that started us. Is that, whichever division that we find ourselves in next season, that's got to be only a positive?
Yes, the club, you know, needs to keep as many players as we can from this group, because they're some good players, and we have proved that. I think we was top of the form table for a little while, and we've certainly been in the top three for a little while as well, which is good. It shows, you know, over a group of games that you've done well, and it would have been nice to have started with this squad, but this particular squad we have now, but it didn't work out like that. You know, there was players that we were able to get at the deadline day that we wouldn't have had any chance of getting in January or even at the start of the season. But you know, we looked around for the ones that were not needed by their clubs for whatever reason, and we found three or four very good players from that. And also, you know, went back to the future and brought Kevin, and, you know, somebody we knew, and he's done great. And they've all done well. The loans that we brought in, and Frank's not alone, but he's had a big, they've all had a big part to play.
The statement from the club's owners this week about remaining full time next season, the fans would have been very pleased to see that. How much preparation have you already been able to put into building the foundations for next season? Or is that something that has to wait till after the last game?
Yeah, I think all our sort of focus has been towards the Wrexham game. You know, it's because if you start talking about to the team, for instance, who you're keeping, who you're not keeping, who do you want, who don't you want, you then lose your thoughts on the Wrexham game. You know, if you tell half your squad you don't need them next year, then they're going to play like that, aren't they? You know, so it's important that no decisions have been made, sort of thing, until we've had thoughts. Obviously, everybody's had their own thoughts and that, but it was important that we really kept our eye on the Wrexham game, because there's still the opportunity. Yeah. And what we mustn't do is blow it now because we've made decisions too early. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, you know, at this moment in time, we're of one club, so on and so forth. I thought it was a great statement from the owner. I knew it was going to stay full time because, you know, they've got a project and they want to see it through. And you know, that's why I came here. And, you know, obviously there's still discussions to be had, whether I'm the one that takes it on. But at the moment, that doesn't matter so much, because we know everybody is of the same thought, Wrexham. Yeah. And then we'll sort it out after the Wrexham game.
Would you like to be the one to carry it on, Gary?
Yeah, I would. I think it was a project for me as well. I think I don't like bad luck letting me down, you know, and I think we're a strong enough club, absolutely, to come straight back up, in my opinion. My CV looks all right in the South, Conference South. I would do, but you know, there's lots of things to talk about, because you know the finances of dropping down, not necessarily for me, but you know, like the playing staff. It was great for the players to hear that the owner had said that we were staying full time, because we got lads that want to be full time footballers, and it obviously gives you an advantage if you did go to the Conference South. But I've enjoyed it here for the most part, absolutely. And we need to, I mean, we had a, what have we done, right? What we've done is we got our promotion out of the South. We then had a couple of COVID seasons, didn't we, seasons where it was hit. Then we got to the final. Funny enough, the COVID season, if you remember, that finished early, we were going all right up till then. And there was a little sniff about, you know, getting in there. Then we had the, was it before or after? But then we had the playoff final, which none of you can tell me we shouldn't have won that. Do you know what I mean? And then we've had this season, which was a season where, unfortunately, we'd lost players, because players and agents always want to play in the Football League. And we've had a little bit of a rebuilding season. And this is not an excuse, but it's out there because it's fact, is that early on, we had a lot of our key players out through injury. Asa was out for a long time, Jarvis was, Lapsley was. We've used too many players this year because of injuries. We've had to get people in at the last minute. Now, our loans have been, you know, like always, you get 10 loans over a season. 6 will do well and 5 won't, you know, for self-esteem, you're doing it at the last minute. But you see now, the 5 loans that we have are regular in our team, and that's going to be important. So it's not, you know, the club will do what's right by the football club, that's for sure. And whatever happens to me, then that's, I know that the club has done it for the best interests of the club. So, you know, that's why nobody's panicking, nobody's saying, what are we doing, what am I doing, you know, what are you doing, so on and so forth, what's the budget, you know what I mean? It's just, we get over this game and then we do it all sensibly.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gary.
No problem.
Going back to that playoff final, was it a bit galling to see Hartlepool where they are now? You know, looking like they're coming back down?
Yeah, it is. But if you know, they've gone up. They started off well, actually, didn't they, in the early part of the season. I wouldn't say galling, because I'm nearly getting over that game against them. as you've heard here every week. I think because of, you've got to remember the difference between of the finance between the National League and the Football League. You know, what is it, 38,000, and the other one's 1.2 million. Now, you know, that would cover our budget comfortably. Do you know what I mean? And so I say comfortably, but it's a big difference, and it allows you to get different players. You know, Wrexham, the team that spent the most money, Notts County, team that spent the second most money, and Chesterfield, the third. So you can almost do it on a sort of financial basis, but then every now and again, you're like, for instance, us, who, you know, we're comfortable in our own shell, if you like, you know, what we do. I know exactly what the club's doing, and I know exactly what they can and what they can give, and they've gone a little bit beyond that as well, which we appreciate when we've needed it. And there'll be 4 or 5 clubs that have the opportunity to get into that next, or top 3, then you've got the next four. And I'd like to think if we get back there, then we could be one of those 4 that can, you know, get into that, like a Bromley, Boreham Wood, you know, we beat Boreham Wood, you know, there's teams in that group, Eastleigh, that were in it, that we played and beat and won. So that's where it is. But that's the same in any league, isn't it? Who pays the most in the Premiership? You know, so it's not always financial, but it allows you not to guess Yeah, we all knew Paul Mullen was going to score 40 goals in this league, you know what I mean? And, so it's but it's a good, it's a strong club. That's important to say that, definitely. And whatever happens, it'll you know, be as strong as it ever would be, because in my opinion, and this is not me telling for this job, but it's 100% it's run by the right people. So whatever decision they make will be all right by me.
So there you go. We're back in the mobile studio in the car park, and we trailed before the chat with Gary Johnson the key question, which Alan Richardson from the BBC ended up asking. You know, are you the man, he said, to take Torquay forward into the next season? This is something a lot of fans have been wondering, whether Gary would still fancy the job. And he says, yes, he is. He's up for
as
it.
As long as he's given the chance.
His CV in National League South is pretty good.
Yeah, one season and a championship.
That's the two questions that have been on the fans' lips. I was lucky enough to go with the Torquay United Travel Club to Altrincham on Saturday, which was a very well organised, very enjoyable trip. The football didn't quite turn out as we wanted, but it was a terrific trip. On the way back, everybody's talking about the coming season, the matches. Will we stay fully pro? And does Gary fancy staying? And we've got the answer to both of those questions this week. Yes, we do. And yes, he does. Happy with that, chaps?
Well, yes, we needed some clarification, didn't we, as soon as possible. As always in these situations, you know, the ends of seasons, especially seasons that don't end well, always need action and decisions as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, you want them to be right rather than quick. Right first and quick second. But, we needed that clarification of... There was, in my looking at it, there's three options, isn't there? One is Gary Johnson stays as manager. The second is that Gary Johnson stays but in a different role with a different coaching team from in-house. And the third is that Clark Osborne gets rid of everybody and brings somebody new in.
Yeah.
Now, the whole dynamic of the situation and the timing of it, surely if somebody completely new was coming in, something would have happened by now. Because to do it now, without a new man having a chance to have a look at the players or work with them and decide who he wants to keep for next season, unless there's been somebody sitting in the stand that we haven't managed to spot for the last few weeks, and I don't think there has been. That seems a ridiculous, not ridiculous, but it seems an unlikely option, doesn't it? In other words, a new manager coming in needs some time to have a look at his players, decide who he wants to keep, decide who he wants, etc., 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 etc. That hasn't happened, therefore I think that third option is not likely.
The second option is intriguing though, isn't it? With I hadn't really thought of that, to be honest, but Gary possibly being, they used to call them directors of football, I don't know what the modern term is, and
an in-house team
on the touchline. That's intriguing.
Probably Aaron Anasa, you would have thought. Yeah.
Well, and you've also got the possibility of a player who I think we've all been impressed with over the last few weeks and months, which is Kevin Dawson. Who is of an age where, you know, I would have thought he'd be looking to get into coaching as well. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that for me, those are the three options. Yeah. I think the last one looks the unlikeliest of the three.
In other words, Gary's staying in some form or another.
There you go. Yeah. He clearly has indicated today that he wants to stay and he wants to do the job. He still feels he's the right person to do the job. The three of us have watched him at work over the last year, and there's been no hint at all that his enthusiasm and his appetite for the game has fallen away or that he's, you know, not at it, if you know what I mean. given those circumstances, this is his squad. Yeah. He clearly has some views which he has not communicated to us yet, because he's obviously trying to concentrate on this last game, about people he would want to keep and want to, you know, go. You've got the added complication of quite a lot of players we understand are on 2-year contracts and are under contract for next season.
But we don't know who they are, do we? We're making educated guesses.
Yes, but, exactly. But I think, you know, there was quite a lot of young players who Gary talked up at the start of the season, who you could imagine would, you know, possibly be in that bracket of 2-year contracts. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to stay, because we've all seen players under contract release. But we'll, you know, over the years. But we'll see where that goes. No, it's interesting.
The other thing I think you need to think about is Gary's not going to want to end it here, is he? On a relegation?
No.
He if he's going to end it at all. You know, a promotion is where you, and then you don't end it, do you? Because you're excited about the following season. So it's certainly not something that I think he'd want to do.
No, absolutely. And you know, I know everybody looks back and they keep quoting about, oh, you know, his heart problems he had a few years ago. You know, is it, you know, his health and everything? His health's fine. His health is perfectly okay. Yeah. He's long over his heart issues.
Yeah.
And actually, what happened at the time was an infection. After that, not the actual heart operation went fine. It was what happened in the wake of the operation that really lowered him. Yeah. He's fine. He's firing on all cylinders. You know, any manager, especially at this level, makes mistakes.
Yeah.
We make mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody in the world makes mistakes.
EU never made a mistake, never made anything.
Read some of my copy.
Yeah, exactly. So, especially when you're, you know, talking about the budgets available at this level. Gary talked in his chat about the fact that when you've got Wrexham's budget, you're not guessing very often.
No.
You are buying a Paul Mullin or an Ollie Palmer, you know, or an Aaron Hayden, you know, or even a Ben Bloody Foster. You know, these aren't, you're not keeping your fingers crossed when you send them out on the pitch, are you? And so that's the difference. Yeah. When you shop in the slightly lower market, you can't guarantee that they're all going to come off.
No.
You do your best.
You might get a Jarvis.
There you go. And so that's what it's all about. And you have to hope that with the knowledge and contact of people that you get more right than wrong. And over the last 5 years, Gary Johnson has got a lot more right than he's got wrong. It's just this season, for whatever reason, and we can all surmise about that until we're blue in the face, it hasn't been quite enough.
And
this season,
you have to watch a lot of Corey Andrews before you find an Aaron Jarvis.
There you go.
Let's talk about the Altrincham game then.
Who I'll never forgive, by the way, for doing that going down gesture.
No,
wait till we meet him.
Wasn't
again.
Nice. Altrincham 2, Torquay 2. Two great goals from Asa Hall.
Yep.
The first one good. The second one otherworldly. If it was from where I was standing anyway, it arrowed into the top corner, which was
I was just chatting to him before today where he was first in, surprise
yeah.
I just say, gosh, it's a long time since you caught one like that, and he said, I've forgotten the last time I caught one like that.
I'll tell you when it was against Truro Boxing Day when he got goal of the season in National League South, or it was our goal of the
Truro?
Season anyway.
When are we going to be playing them again?
I know, well yeah, they're on the fringes of coming back.
They've got through their
League
first
South.
Playoff game, and they've now got to win
it's
the final.
It's going to be a West Country league, isn't it?
You've got Taunton, we're not down
Weston,
there yet, but
Bath, Yeovil.
I think we have to say that, but yeah.
Maidenhead.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be in that.
Anyway, we digress.
Looked at a few stats because we were talking last week about when
the Altrincham game. We were just going to wrap up the Altrincham
game. No, I was just going to talk about Acer. We talked about how effective Acer is when he plays. Aaron Jarvis, 33 starts, 15 goals. That's one every 2.2 games. Asa Hall, 20 starts, 8 goals. That's one every 2.5. That's not a bad return from midfield,
nine,
is it?
I think it's 9 he's got in all competitions. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I was working on league games.
Yeah,
it is 9 in all competitions.
Yeah.
You're right.
But then he's the man who gives away the penalty.
I don't know, but as
you've
Dave
got a good
was
point
pointing
on this.
Out,
Dave,
what was the point you were making?
No.
Well,
of course he gave the penalty away, and you look at the look on his face this morning, and he still isn't over it.
Yeah.
But when I saw some of the comments on social media, my heart sank, because immediately quite a lot of people jumped on, 36 years old, legs are gone, oh God, that's why he's given the penalty away. It was a counter-attack for a start. He's up the field trying to help, keep the ball in their half of the pitch, etc., etc. They catch us on the counter-attack. Another teammate is beaten.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who is the last man back in the box trying to get a challenge in? It's Asa Hall.
And as you said, he was inches, if not centimetres.
And he had to make a challenge because the guy was in the box and about to shoot. My immediate thing when I saw it was, how the hell's he got back there? This thing about, look, we all know that his fitness is not as, you know, solid. He is picking up injuries, etc., etc. You ask any other manager in this division, do they want to play Torquay United with Asa Hall or without him? I know the answer you'd get from every single manager in the division. And that's your answer. You know, he's so ridiculously effective.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the only thing you could add to him to make him better would be 23-year-old legs.
Well, yes, true.
You know,
if there's any 23-year-olds out there who want to donate their legs,
there you go. So this instant decision making of some people that his legs are gone, get rid of him.
It's social media for you though, isn't it? We've moaned like three grumpy old men about this many times this season.
It's not the social media; it's the people who are saying things and that. One look at that build up to that goal should have told everybody, bloody hell, he's done well to get back there.
And not just for a man of his age.
In other words, if he'd got that tackle a split second, you know, better timed, because he's trying to get back, by the way, on the 90th minute of a match. Mm. By the way, he didn't even play in the previous game.
So
I thought it was an astonishing performance anyway. But if he'd made that tackle and had cleared it, he could have been mayor and we'd have been freedom of the borough by now.
Absolutely.
And so that's where we are, and for what it's worth.
it's a very good point, well made, actually. Yeah.
Tell you who had a good game for Altrincham as well, just as a little sideline. Harry Perrett is at Altrincham, had a decent game. We had him on loan, didn't we? And then he ended back up north. He was 354 travelling fans there.
Yeah,
great. Good turnout.
They were always going to be there, don't worry.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good stuff. So
it took our friend Paul Bastard all of 10 minutes to walk from his home to Moss Lane towards the...
he's pretty close.
For a man who goes to every away game.
It's always... Yeah. I always feel, as we always do, that when we've been in their division, Altrincham, at least that's a home game for Paul.
But here we go. The circus comes to town on Saturday. Wrexham, who won the championship last Saturday by beating Boreham Wood, they've been presented with the trophy. They've been on the 9 o'clock news. They've been on BBC
of
Breakfast.
Of course they have. It's embarrassing.
Everywhere. Fox News.
It's embarrassing. when they're on today on BBC Radio 4 in the morning, you know there's something wrong. Something's askew with that division.
Is that just because we're a little bit soured towards them? I think it is.
Well, you agree? No, I don't.
I think there's a great story being told there, but they can go away and tell it.
I think the better story will be when Disney pull their money out in 2 or 3 years' time and all the debts have to be repaid.
It'll be... And there was a great cartoon, by the way, David Squires in The Guardian.
Saw that.
Cartoons brilliantly on football every week. He's a Swindon fan, so he kind of feels the pain of lower league. And there's a great cartoon on the Wrexham saga.
We all know that it's raised the profile of the National League, but it's and a lot of people have been saying, hasn't it been great for the National League? It's not been great for Yeovil. It's not been great for Torquay. It's not been great for Notts County if they don't go up. It's only really been great for Wrexham.
It's Maidstone, Yeovil, and Scunthorpe and one other team are collateral damage, really.
Yeah, because in that David Squire.
Yeah.
A cartoon that you sent me, they're celebrating the Wrexham win, and there's a little speech bubble in the corner goes, there goes Yeovil.
Yeah.
I think the team I feel sorry for, if anybody is point, you know, if there's any point in ever feeling sorry for anybody in football, is Notts County.
Yeah, I agree.
I've always felt this season that Notts County were actually slightly the better footballing team.
Mm.
They couldn't win that titanic game at the racecourse ground a couple of weeks ago. They have scored. They will amass if they duff York up on Saturday, which I'm sure they will do industrially. They will have amassed more points.
They'll be on 106 points.
Incredible. Any other team in the history of the competition without winning it, and now they've got to go into the playoffs we all know what happens in potentially could happen in there.
And we all know how good Chesterfield are.
Yeah.
Chesterfield on
who
their
have been
day
throwing players at it ever since they got rid of Shimanga. To Peterborough, they've been throwing new players at it. Dallas, McCallum, Colclough from
those three had great games against
there
us.
There you go. What a playoff final it'll be if it ends up Notts County against Chesterfield.
The playoffs are going to be thrilling, aren't they? Yeah,
I think everyone, every football fan, apart from the deluded ones will be wanting Notts County to do it, to be fair.
Yeah.
And it'll be such a shame if they don't. Especially as going back to David Squire's cartoon again, they've spent real money.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be our second game in 8 days against a Phil Parkinson team.
Yeah, yeah, two Phil Parkinsons in a row. Strange. Yeah, two Phil Parkinsons.
It'll be a sellout. Now, depending where you look, Dave, you'll know the answer to this. Depending where you look online, Torquay United's capacity is 6,500, 6,200, or 6,104.
Knowing the constitution, is that right, of the ground,
yeah,
and the way the local SAG group get their hands on these things, I would say it's 6,200 or 6,100 and whatever it is. I think, you know, there's so many, you can't stand there, you can't, you know, yellow lines and that sort of stuff. The capacity of the ground has gradually come down, like a lot of other grounds, you know. You know, in this day and age, if you touch shoulders with somebody, apparently it's
you'll be separated by stewards.
There you go. So I would have thought it's just over 6,000. It'd be interesting to see what the capacity, because they'll announce it, because obviously the tickets are also.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see, won't they, what the attendance is announced as. Yeah.
I mean, will the attendance announce reflect the tickets sold or the people there, though?
Oh, that'll the be the sold. Interesting.
I mean is, I think there will be quite a few people who might not turn up.
There may be.
On Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. The other thing is, of course, that in the Bristow's bench, when you've got a load of away fans, there has to be a separation there. So that immediately reduces the capacity of Bristow's bench. I think the capacity of Bristow's bench is 1,800, something like that.
Yeah.
So that probably brings it down to 1,600 or whatever it is, almost straight away. Little things like that.
There'll be 1,200 fans in the away end, plus another couple of hundred in the far end of Bristow's bench.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
There'll be... Let's the elephant in the room. There'll be Wrexham fans in amongst the Torquay fans.
It's bound to happen.
You would think so, but well, let's see. You know, I mean, the key thing is they've won the thing. If you didn't have a ticket and you were a Wrexham fan, would you really be making a huge effort to get down there and to try and get in anyway? I definitely
weekend on the English Riviera, Dave.
Well, no, absolutely. But then you'd probably have booked that, you know,
sorted that
out anyway.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I cannot imagine any Wrexham fans, bless them, paying considerably over the odds for a ticket from somebody who's prepared to try and make some money out of it. Why would you do that? We've already won the title.
Yeah.
From a Wrexham supporter, if you, the three of us, were Wrexham supporters and we were sitting up in North Wales now, we'd be looking, are we going to go down at the weekend without a ticket? And I think we'd probably look,
the Championship win last weekend has taken the sting out of it
a little bit.
Yeah.
On the pitch, there are battles to look forward to. Nico Lawrence versus Paul Mullin, or whoever they choose to play up front, is going to be interesting, isn't it? Nico's had a couple of games where he's been up against it in the last couple of games. He's been put under pressure. He's played really well because he is a really good footballer. But it'll be great for him to come up against a wily old campaigner like
Mullin. What a player he looks like. That game on Saturday night, he was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's,
Mullin.
Yeah.
It's,
he's
different class, isn't he?
His touch around the box is very
good. I mean, he could be playing...
I don't like the way he tries to fall over. He's a very, very good
But
finisher,
he could or should be playing in the Championship, really, shouldn't he?
Well, he was.
Yeah, exactly.
So was Palmer. Palmer was playing for AFC Wimbledon before they got relegated, and he went there, I think.
And the one thing that always cheers us about the Wrexham story on the podcast is Luke Young.
Yeah.
Still the captain. Yeah. Played 43 games for them this season. He's not a bit part player. He, you know, with all the largesse that's been spent.
And got injured. Is he injured now?
He didn't play, did he, in the Boreham Wood game last week?
He played the game before, didn't he?
Yeah, not sure.
I think he probably...
Congratulations, Youngie.
He's played more games for Wrexham than he played for us. Considerably more. He's played 195 games for Wrexham.
And he was here for 4 years.
Yeah. He gave us a season, didn't he? I mean, he didn't have to sign for that last season.
No.
But we'd done so much for him to help out with his injury. He gave us that season.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's a game that's got everything. It's going to be a big crowd. It'll be a good atmosphere, whatever happens. Torquay will give it a right go. You can't see the likes of Asa Hall, Dean Moxie, etc., sitting back and letting them get away with anything.
Fingers crossed Moxie's fit.
Mathematically, it is still possible.
Well done, guys.
By the way, listener, it is raining.
Yeah, sound effects. So, you know, while there's still something to play for, Gary's not given up.
No, nobody's given up. And no one's going to give up.
Let's wait and see what the Saturday brings for us. Just a quick word. We looked at the squad. I scribbled the squad down, the players that we've got, and looking ahead to next season. We don't know who's on two-year deals, so do we? The players who are ours, most of whom arrive during the course of the summer, But of course, we have got players out on loan who may come back. Alex Moy, Scott Piper is out. Others
Alex
are out.
Moy's been doing very well, by the way.
And Brooks has it.
Yeah. Lewis Brooks, yeah.
Ollie Tomlinson is out, isn't he? He's still out on loan. Olaf Kazella is still out on loan.
Getting fit again.
Yeah, you kind of, you know, what on earth will the next season bring for the now 45-year-old Olaf Kazella? Not quite. Players who will go, I mean, Frank Nuble is a big question mark. I mean, he came to play in the last 8-9 games of the season. What do we think will happen to him next season? He'll go back and play somewhere inside the M25, or will he fancy a season here?
It's agent time, isn't it? Yeah. Agents will be on the phone, shopping their players around to all the managers, and obviously you'd have to take things, right, does he want to play in the National League South, and he and a lot of other players, do they want to play in the National League South?
My big question is Aaron Jarvis.
Well, I would think that he's one of the players on a two-year contract. He's definitely in demand. I know clubs have been watching him over the last few weeks and months. He loves it here. He's moved down. He's got his family with him here. He loves playing for the club, etc. He would have to take a decision. I would think with Aaron Jarvis, the sensible thing for him and his agent to do would be to say, yes, we're staying.
Score 35 goals.
We're staying at least until Christmas. See how the first half of the season goes. Score as many goals as possible, with a clause saying that at Christmas I'm allowed to speak to any club from a higher level, etc., etc. If and see what they're offering. If not, then he stays for the season. Scores 25, 30 goals or whatever it is. Obviously, we're fingers crossed on that. And then you take it from there. He's not that old. He's what is he? 25, 26,
25.
Like
I think.
So it's not as if he's. You know, he's, my goodness, if I don't leave now, I'm never going to leave. That's how
we would all love him to agree a deal like that, wouldn't
we? Yeah.
And then the five loan players that we've got at the moment, obviously Nico Lawrence will be in League One, probably playing in League One next season for somebody.
Good luck to him.
On loan. Topi Fadahunzi back to Sutton, I imagine.
It's been frustrating for him, hasn't he? Obviously, the last few weeks he can't get in because of the five loan rule.
And that's the only reason he's not got in.
That's right.
Yeah. But he's still been here. And
everybody around the club has spoken very highly of the way he's trained and the effort he's been putting in, even though he's not even been getting on the subs bench. There have been moments with Toppy when he's looked a seriously dangerous prospect, and then there have been other games where he just doesn't appear to be able to get into it.
I don't think he's. I don't think he's quite been garrified yet.
No,
I think
well,
it's probably so, some more
garrified Toppy.
That's an interesting one.
Lewis Collins, Newport County. You would imagine he would go back and try his luck at Newport, but again, agents, you just don't quite know. Jack Stobbs at Oldham. He played really well on Saturday.
He's been a great player.
I think it's the first right winger we've had that looks as if he really knows how to cross a ball.
Yeah.
And that's
how many goals have been scored from his crosses over the last. Aaron Lemaine was more about the journey down the wing rather than the cross at the end of it.
So that's a good point. I like the way you put that.
Stobbs has done pretty well, I must say.
Be nice to hang on to him if he could be tempted. And the other one is Kevin Dawson.
Sign him.
Sign him. Now,
I mean, he's on loan from Gloucester, who are in probably the same division
next
year.
He's not staying with Gloucester.
He's not staying with Gloucester.
And he would be the heart and soul of our midfield.
I mean, he's got that attitude about him. He's got the experience. He's a good footballer. He likes a tackle. Doesn't mind a yellow card.
Stick him in it through a proper pre-season and get him up firing on all cylinders, as opposed to somebody who hadn't kicked a ball in anger for about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And he's only 32. All right, he's not in the first flush of youth, but he can still get around a football pitch as we can see. I think he's the type of player that you build your midfield around for next season.
Let's take a pen and paper up there now.
Find him in the rain.
I don't mind getting stuck in the rain.
And he lives at Gloucester, for goodness sake, so he doesn't have to move. This is the crucial thing which we're going to come back to time and time again. You can sign promising young players in the hope of improving them and turning them into serious players until you're blue in the face. The key players to put any winning promotion team together are your experienced pros. And when we got to the playoff final in 2021, the previous summer, at the end of 2020, which was the COVID season, Torquay managed in January to get Lemon Hay Evans, Lewis,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
Kyle Cameron, and all the other ones we can think about to sign new contracts, because nobody knew what was happening in the summer. They were all worried about their futures, and they signed 18-month contracts. And in the summer, we only had to bring in, as it turned out, three experienced players: Gary Warren, who lived at Columpton, Danny Wright, who lived at Cheltenham, and Dean Moxey, who lived in Exeter.
Yeah.
Those three players instantly made us, turned us into a promotion
team. Into a better team.
And none of them had to move. That's the crucial question. And, and to ask in this day and age, and it isn't about the players, it's about their families, and it's about their wives and their partners, who have all got perfectly good careers of their own. In some cases, the wives and partners, good luck to them, are earning more money than the players.
Yeah.
So that's the key thing, is getting players to uproot from where they're living and to come down to Torquay United in the National League South, if it happens that way, or even in the National League, sign two-year contracts or whatever it is, pull their kids out of school, etc., etc., etc. And it's a big, big issue. And, you know, it requires funding and all the rest that we've just been talking about. And I'll shut up now.
Before we close, they're always a footnote in the podcast. It's become a bit of a standing joke, but Torquay United women's team, Torquay United team playing women's football, are at home to Royal Wootton Bassett at Liverton on
it's
Sunday.
Yes, been switched to Liverton, everybody, from Coach Road.
2 o'clock kickoff at Liverton. If they win the game, and the odds are probably in their favour, although let's not jump to any conclusions, but if they win the game, they win the title. They win the South West Regional Women's Football League. They win promotion to the National League for the first time. They're on a 17-game unbeaten run. They haven't lost at home, and they've got the best defence in the league.
I think it's fair to say, without double-checking my facts, that they have been at that level before, but it wasn't called the National League then.
But they are a real success story, aren't they, this season?
Yeah, and a thought story. A thought for two players who won't be playing on Sunday. One is Sasha Mole, who
she was injured,
that
wasn't
horrible
she?
Dislocated knee at Liscard 10 days ago. And also, unless they manage to get her off, the leading scorer, Claire Bergelli, who was sent off at the Liscard match. I know they've been trying to appeal against it in the hope that they might be. I don't know, I haven't checked at last minute whether she has actually managed it, whether an appeal allows her to play or anything like that, but they were certainly trying.
Yeah.
A bit of a touchline dust-up, I understand.
Really?
Did involve somebody else as well. So, fingers crossed for those two, for different reasons. And they're well capable of beating Royal Wootton Bassett. And it's just, you've just got to go out and do it with all knowing what this is. It's huge stuff for these ladies, isn't it? This is a level of competition and pressure and commitment that they won't have experienced before, or the vast majority of them anyway.
They've taken it all in their stride up to now. They've played so well, and Steve Ellswood has got them absolutely ticking over really, really well.
They pulled out the cup to make more preparations for the league, haven't they?
So, and good luck, by the way, also to the Pro Direct squad at South Devon College, who beat North Shropshire on penalties in the semi-final of the English Colleges FA Trophy. They go to Accrington Stanley next week. I'm not sure exactly what day it is, for the final against Coleg Cambria from North Wales, one of the biggest colleges in the whole of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the middle of next week. I'm not sure exactly what the date is. All the finals get played at one football league ground over the course of 2 or 3 days. It's May the 2nd to the 4th. I would think that because it's the senior cup, it will probably be on the 3rd or the 4th.
Good luck to them.
Very good luck to them. And of course, the vast majority of those boys under Ryan Dixon play for United's under 18.
Whenever someone mentions Accrington Stanley, do we all still go, who?
Who are they? It's that milk advert, isn't it? So, great successes for the women's team, great success for the young lads. Who knows what we might be talking about next week?
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It could still happen.
See you on the other side.
See you on the other side. David, thanks for joining us at a rain-soaked Seal Hain.
Yeah,
still
it's
hear
very
the rain
heavy rain now.
Drumming down on the roof of
the car. Windows have all steamed up.
I wonder what people are thinking.
I'm not even suggesting anything.
Three gentlemen of a certain age squeezed into a steamy windowed car.
Probably talking about trains, Guy.
I imagine so. Thank you for joining us, and hope to see you at the game on Saturday. if there's room in the ground, come up and say hello, but don't lose your seat on our account, whatever you do. We'll try and squeeze
in. We could be talking about seats next week.
Yeah, we could. Press bench etiquette is going to be stretched to the limit this week. We could be sitting on the laps of somebody from North Wales.
Yeah.
But that's another story. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll finish in a three-part harmony this week. Chaps, I want you to concentrate really hard on this.
Let me just...
Come on, you yellows.
That was very Welsh.
That was good. It was, actually, wasn't it?
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride of